Welcome back. We're learning Masechta Pesachim. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are in the middle of Perek Zayin, up to Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mishnah talks about two aspects relating to the Karban Pesach. One is what parts of the animal are considered roi la'achila, and that's important because in order to be able to the Karban Pesach, as we mentioned in the past, there has to be enough and people have to be able to eat at least what's considered an achila, which is at least a kezias. So if you have X number of people that are part of a group to eat from the Karban Pesach, you have to make sure that you have enough for each of those people to eat a kezias. So the question is, what parts of the animal are considered in calculating the kezias? Mishnah goes into that. And then in the latter part of the Mishnah discusses, because there's a law by the Karban Pesach specifically that you're supposed to be very careful not to break an etzem, not to break a bone. So the Mishnah discusses different aspects of the halacha, the law of not breaking a bone of the Karban Pesach. Mishnah starts off, Kol hanechal b'shor hagadol. Anything that is eaten, any part of the animal that is eaten, b'shor hagadol, by a large ox, because by a large ox, certain parts of the animal, when the animal is younger, might be soft and edible, but as it matures and as it grows older, those parts become hard and unedible or inedible. So the Mishnah tells you that anything that is edible by a shor hagadol, yei ochel, is considered edible, b'gdi harach, even by a tender, younger gdi. So that only things that are edible by a shor hagadol are considered edible and calculated in the measurement and the shear of an achila of a kezias by the Karban Pesach. So that even though by the gdi harach there might be some parts of the animal that are currently soft and therefore edible, and you might think that you should be able to figure that into the calculation, nevertheless, Mishnah tells you no. That what determines whether it's calculated into the measure of the kezias is whether it's considered edible if it were in a shor hagadol. So the parts of the animal that harden later are not considered part of the cheshbon. The Mishnah adds, v'roshei knofayim v'haschuchim. Certain parts are considered part of the cheshbon. The roshei knofayim are the tips of the shoulder blades, and the sechuchim. Schusim is the cartilage of the ears and the chest and the small ribs at the base of the spine. These are considered as part of the calculation. The Mishnah goes on to tell us, Hashovres etzem b'pesach ha-tor, if somebody breaks an etzem, a bone, of a Karban Pesach, which is tor, hareze loke arborim, he gets malchus, because there's a lav. The lav of etzem lo sishperu bo, you should be careful not to break a bone. So you get a lav, and you get lashes of arboim, of 40 less 1, of 39 lashes. However, the Mishnah says, aval hamosir batohar, if you do not break the bone, but you simply leave over a portion that is not eaten, and you're over on the lav of nosar, where it says, Lo sasir mimenu ad boker, with regard to that lav, that prohibition of not leaving anything over, there you do not get malchus, you do not get lashes. A moser batar, if somebody leaves over noser by a Karban Pesach that was tar, that was eligible for a Karban Pesach, vashover batame, or somebody who actually broke a bone of an animal that is ineligible for the Karban Pesach, it's tame. In these two cases, these two lavim, whether it's the lav of nosar by a tohar, or the lav of breaking a bone by a tameh, a naloka eshar bon, you would not get lashes of 39. As far as the reason for it, the Bartanur explains the reason why nosar, even though it's a lav, would not get malchus by a tohar. He gives two reasons. One is because it's a lav hanitik lase, it's a lav, a prohibition for which the Torah subsequently gives you a positive commandment. And the understanding is that if the Torah is giving you a positive commandment, so it's giving you an opportunity to rectify it so that you would not have to have malchus. And therefore, since it says Lo Sosirma Ben Arboker, and it's followed by the mitzvah saseh, the positive commandment of the Eish Tisrofu, that you're supposed to burn it in fire. So therefore, you are not subject to getting malchus for that lav. The second explanation the Bartanura gives is that it's a lav shein b'maisa. Nosar is basically a prohibition that you're over by not doing anything. A lav where you did not do anything, you just sat back and let something happen, that is not a lav for which you get malchus. However, breaking a bone of the Korban Pesach, that is an active prohibition where you actually did something, you broke the bone, you did something, and therefore you would get malchus. That explains the Mosir Batohar. As far as the Shover Batame, why is it that if you break the bone of a carbon that was Tame for Korban Pesach, you're not over on the lav, and I mean, you actually don't get malchus? So says the Bartanura that it says Vesim Lo Sishburu Bo. Bo refers to a Korban Pesach. If it's Tame and it's not kosher, so then you are not Muzhar. That is not what the Torah was talking to us in terms of the prohibition of being careful not to break a bone. So therefore, if you would break a bone by a carbon that was Tame, you would not get Malchus. With that, we end Mishnah Yud Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis. The Mishnah here refers back to, we spoke earlier in Mishnah Tess, that you're not supposed to take the Korban Pesach outside of the walls of your Yerushalayim, and if you did, it has to be burnt. Says the Mishnah, Eiver Sheyotz Mitzvah. So what if a limb, a portion of the Korban Pesach, was taken, part of it was taken outside of the walls of your Yerushalayim? So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, Chosech, you cut off the part that went outside of the walls of your Yerushalayim, Ad Shemagia Le'etzem, until you reach the bone. Because by Korban Pesach, you have to be careful, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, not to violate the prohibition of breaking a bone. So you can only cut off the part up to the bone. The kolef, and you can... The kolef means that you can cut away Ad Shemagia Le'perek, until you reach the joint of the bone, of the limb, the chosech. And then you can cut it off. And then you could sever it. That's the first part of the Mishnah. But Mikdashin, but by other korbanos, other kachim that happen to go outside of the walls, because there's no lav of etzem losish berubo, there's no prohibition that we need to be concerned with about not breaking the bone. Therefore, kotzeitz bakofitz, you'd be able to chop it off with a kofitz. Kofitz is a type of a sharp knife, because we don't need to be concerned with breaking the bone. Now the Mishnah goes to clarify what's considered outside of the walls of Yerushalayim and what is not considered outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says, min ha'agaf v'lifnim, from the doorpost of the walls of the city and inwards, Kilifnim has a din as it is still in the walls of Yerushalayim. So if you happen to reach the entranceway but did not leave and go outside of the doorpost, it's still considered Kilifnim. Min ha'agav v'lachutz, however, from the doorpost and outward, Kilachutz is considered as if it did leave the walls of Yerushalayim, and the halachas of what we just mentioned earlier in the Mishnah would apply. Hachalonos, the windows, v'over hachoma, and the thickness of the wall itself, what does that have the din of? Is that considered like inwards or outwards? Says the Mishnah, Kilafim, it has a din as if it's the inside, and therefore you can eat there, and you're not considered as taking it outside of Yerushalayim, as long as it didn't pass the thickness of the walls of the city. With this, we end Mishnah Yud Beis, and look forward to continuing next time, Mishnah Yud Gim. Thank you.